The other night, I believe it was the last night that we taught here, we preached about, well, doing our message, we brought up Lazarus, the rich man, how one had been blessed and the other had not. One had gone hungry during his lifetime, one had had plenty. Then the scene changed, and all of a sudden, Lazarus was comforted and the rich man was tormented. I want to read from 1 John just a little bit. The 5th chapter, the 1st verse. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life, for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. You know, right here, we're told that the love of God is to keep his commandments. When you think about the love of God and what the love of God really is, then there's not very many people that have the love of God. Isn't that right? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And here John tells us that to love God is to keep the commandments, for keeping the commandments is the love of God. To love God is to keep his commandments. For he said, if you love me, you will do what I ask you to do. You know, that stands to reason, because you take children that love their parents, they honor their parents, and whatever their parents ask them to do, they do it. Because they love their parents, and they honor their parents, and they reverence their parents. Therefore, it is not wrong to think that if you loved God, you would do what God asked you to do. Isn't that right? You say, well, what then, Brother Pike, does God expect out of us? He said to give your bodies a living sacrifice, which is but a reasonable service. In the light of what I have done for you, Jesus said, in that I gave my life, I gave my blood, I gave my kingdom, I gave my love, I gave you everything that heaven or earth could afford, I gave you all that I created, I gave you eternal life. The least that you could do is present your feeble body with its feeble members that's going to last for 60 or 80 years. The very least you could do is to give me that body that I might live in it and do something concerning my Father's kingdom. The least you could do is give your body a sacrifice daily while you live in this world to be a blessing to humanity and to honor me, to do something that might help others. The very least that you could do is to consider the fact that if I gave so freely to you, that you ought to have at least consider the need of others and share with them. So then, to love God is to keep His commandments. To keep His commandments is to love God. And the love of God is to keep His commandments. So then, if you love God, you'll give your bodies a living sacrifice. For the Bible said, if you daily sacrifice unto God in the sense of swearing to your own hurt and living the life that pleases Him, that is to live your life for others. He said, if you daily do this, then that is a sacrifice that lives. That is a living sacrifice. That is doing something with your life. And the least that you can do is to do that for me if you really love me. And I really believe that. I believe that the love of God in a man's heart will actually cause him to do that very thing. He'll give his heart and life and soul, mind and body and strength completely to God and to his fellow man. I believe that if a man doesn't do this, then it is my conviction that he does not have the love of God. It is my conviction that he has never been born again. If a man does not have an inward desire to give his body, soul, mind, spirit, give his all to God, then I am persuaded to believe that he has never been born again. The reason I say that is because the Bible tells us that we are partakers of the divine nature of Jesus Christ. In the divine nature of Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. If that nature did as it did do, according to our knowledge, while it dwelt in the body of Jesus Christ, then that means if you have that nature, it is going to do the very same thing in you. And if it doesn't do the same thing, then you don't have the nature, because it is something else. So then, if you've got the nature of Jesus, you're going to do like Jesus. You're going to think like Jesus. You're going to walk like Jesus. You're going to have a desire like Jesus had. And Jesus' desire was this: I must be about my Father's business. And his prayer was like this, that even though the bitter cup came of the nails and the crucifixion and the beating upon the back and whatever, even though this came, yet he prayed this prayer, Father, not my will be done, but thine. Father, let this cup pass from me, if you will. But nevertheless, if it displeases you, then I should ask this. Whatever your will is, Father, I want it to be done. I want it to be done. If it's to be sacrificed for you, then that's what I want. If nails are to be put in my hands, that's what I want. Lord, Father, if it is for my back to be beaten, then that's what I want. I don't want to change it at all. And you know, that's the way it should be in our lives. Tonight, if there's anything that's supposed to happen to me or to my loved ones in any way, or to what I'm doing, any to affect my life in any way, if it's God's plan, I don't want Him to change it. Now, if it's foolishness on my part that's bringing it, I want to repent of my sins, get straightened out, and have God change it, because that doesn't benefit God to be torn apart by the wrath of God. It's not my will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and have everlasting life. That's God's will. The Bible teaches that God hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He'd rather that the wicked would repent. But if the people are going to continue to be wicked, he says that there is no peace to the wicked. All of their offerings that's given to me is abomination in my sight. He said all of the prayers that the wicked pray, it's abomination in my sight. He said the wicked is like the troubled waters of the sea that's ever casting their mire up upon the bank. There is no rest to the wicked. He said, I am angry with the wicked every day, and I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. So then I don't have any pleasure in being a wicked person. But if God's will is for me to suffer or whatever, if it's God's will and it's going to bring glory to God, then I don't want God to change it. I want God to give me grace to bear it. I want God to help me to be able to say, Father, not my will, but thine. If this is the cup that I must drink, then this is what I want to do. So it's so wonderful to know that we can love God, really be a living sacrifice unto God, really have but one desire, and that is to please God and to follow God and to make our lives conform to the ways of God. This is a wonderful thrill to me, and it should be to every person that wants to give their body a living sacrifice, holy, which is acceptable, that is in an acceptable way unto God. If it's not clean, if it's not holy, then God can't receive it. The Bible teaches that we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter, killed all the day long, offered unto God as a holy sacrifice. But if our bodies are not clean and our bodies are not holy, we're not a sacrifice unto God. Whereas the Bible uses the terms that the Gentiles, the things that they sacrifice, he said they sacrifice those things unto devils. And he said you cannot eat at the table of God and eat at the table of devils. You must eat at the table of God and be clean while you're eating. Because if you come to the table of God, if you're not clean, you can't eat. Now tonight the tables of God are spread. And we're talking about the word of God and the bread of life comes to the children. But if you're not clean in your heart, though you be here at Little Bethlehem, though you sit here in the congregation of the righteous, you cannot partake of the bread. For the bread belongs to the children. Now somebody would say, but Brother Pike, don't you remember when the woman come and said the dogs eat of the crumbs? I remember when she come and said the dogs eat of the crumbs. But I also remember that God all of a sudden made her to know that she was one of the children. And he shared the bread with her. It was just her humble attitude that caused God to look in her direction and caused her to find herself. For he that humbleth himself, the Bible said, shall be exalted. But he that exalteth himself, the Bible said, God shall abase him. Because thou hast loved righteousness, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness, and that above thy fellows. So then when you do holy, and when you do godly, and when you do pure, then God magnifies you, and God prepares a table before you in the presence of those that resent you, and those that hate you, and those that find fault against you. You remember how God prepared a table before David in the presence of his enemies. This is why David made that statement. I was hated. I was despised. They looked upon me as that which they hated and despised, even as Joseph was. But David said, God had mercy on me. And God prepared a table before me. And God spread a great table before Joseph and a great table before David. And God made a great thing to where all of David's enemies, all of Joseph's enemies, they had to look upon David and look upon Joseph. And they had to admire David and admire Joseph because of this one thing. If we love the Lord, then we will give our bodies a living sacrifice. If we love Jesus, then we will surrender our spirits. If we love Jesus, we will surrender our hearts. For our hearts and our minds must be surrendered to Jesus. It's like I told the governors of the work last night, I believe it was. You must surrender your spirit. Coming into the house of God is not sufficient. Being in the presence of a minister while he speaks is not sufficient. You may come with a regularity. You may even give in the offering with a regularity, but that's not sufficient. God will not receive you because you come to church. God will not receive you because you join a body of believers. God will not receive you because you give in the offering. God will not receive you because you have wealth or you are an educated person. God will not receive you because you have great talents that excels others. God doesn't look at those kind of things. God will receive you because your spirit is submitted unto His Spirit, and your spirit is godly and holy, and your mind is completely surrendered to God in God's way of doing things. God will receive you in one way, and that is because you have the love of God, that you're willing to keep God's commandments, and you're willing to do the thing that you're asked to do for Christ Jesus. That's the only way that God will receive you. He will not receive you on any other basis. There's no other basis that God will receive you on except those bases. See, God is watching you. You may think, because you think the way that you think, that God isn't watching you. And you may feel that you can do these, what you call little things, and get by with it. But I want you to know there are big things in the sight of God. Like Brother Branham said one time, your thoughts speak louder in heaven than the deeds that you do on this earth right here. And you may think that you're getting by with that resentment and that jealousy and that fault finding. But let me tell you, God is a spirit. God is watching your thoughts. He's watching the thoughts of your heart. He told you in His Word. He said, do thy diligence to keep thine heart, for out of thine heart comes forth the issues of life. In other words, you do your diligence to think right. He said, because I am going to feed you the thoughts of your heart. I'm going to feed you your thoughts. I'm going to feed you your thoughts. Whatever you think of, that's what I'm going to give you. When you think of lust and filth, when you think of murder and hatred and envy and strife, when you think of jealousy and resentment, then God said, I'll do just exactly unto you as you think to do unto your brother. Therefore, do unto your brother as you would have your brother to do unto you. Because what you think toward your brother is just exactly the cup that you're going to drink out of. It's the plate that you're going to feed out of. It's the food that you're going to eat. For I'm going to feed you the fruits of your thinking. I'm going to feed you the fruits of your thoughts. If you think fear, you think frustration, and you think doubt, and you think despondency, and if you think defeat, and brother, let me tell you something. If you don't live godly and you don't live holy, I challenge any person in here to try to think the right kind of thoughts. It is utterly impossible. I don't care how many books you read on positive thinking. I don't care what somebody indoctrinates you with, some great eloquent speaker. It is nothing but a bunch of junk. If you don't live holy, if you don't live godly, if you don't live pure, if you don't walk upright before God, if you don't incorporate God's Word within your thinking and within your deeds, within your life, to have your fruits unto holiness, you'll never have the end thereof eternal life. And if you don't incorporate holiness in your life, to leave the foundations of repentance and to go on unto perfection, which is the bond of charity, to have that right kind of spirit before God. If you don't do this, I can assure you that you will never have faith in God. You'll never have faith to save your soul. And you will never have faith to reward you with the benefits of this life. As long as you've got that old ugly contrary spirit of fault-finding and jealousy and resentment and division and thinking yourself to be something when the Bible says you're nothing, then you're going to be without faith and you're going to be on the bottom, and God is going to pursue you till you perish from off of the face of the earth because you are repulsive in His sight. But the day that you esteem others better than yourself, the day that you take your spirit and submit it unto God, the day that you love God with all of your heart, and the day that you fill your life with charity, and the day that you get rid of yourself and quit thinking about yourself and what you want to do and your plans and your programs and your future and begin to think about God, the day that you begin to seek the kingdom of God with all of your life and with all of your heart, He said, in that day when you seek Me with all of your heart, then shall you find Me, saith the Lord. It is in that day when you make a full surrender to God, in that time when you completely yield your heart and soul up to God, in that hour when you say, I am going to follow Christ no matter what the cost is. And I'm not going to look to the left and I'm not going to look to the right. I'm going to follow Christ. In the hour when you do that, then you're going to find your faith rising up. When that shield of faith comes up, it's going to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Lucifer is not going to be able to penetrate. He's not going to be able to do anything to you at all. In that hour, God is going to take your hand, and God is going to bless you physically, and God's going to bless you financially, and God's going to bless you spiritually. This is what John's telling us right here in the Word. He tells us in the Word right here. I read it to you tonight. Brethren, if we have this confidence in that we assure our heart by doing the things that please God, He said, then when this heart is confident, He said, when we ask God for something, we'll know then that God hears us, because we're asking according to His will. And if we know that God hears us, He said, we know that we have the petition that we desire of God, and He will make our cup to run over, and He will give us the desires of our heart. When we make sure that our heart is perfect before God. You know, David made some mistakes in his life that were some of the most horrible mistakes that anybody ever made. He played around in the sense of letting the devil get a hold of him, and he sinned against God, and God caused the sword to come to his house, and it was death and horrors and sorrows, heartaches and woes all the days of his life. The Bible said the sword never did depart from King David's house. But on the other hand, the Bible said David had a heart after God's own heart. Inside, David was repentant. David regretted what he'd done. Inside, David had a loving, kind heart that wanted to help God's people, wanted to establish God's kingdom, wanted to do something for God. And he said, God, these things that I've done, he said, in my haste I did them, God. It wasn't in my heart to be like that. He said, my heart is perfect before you, though my ways, they don't please you, God. And I'm being chastened for my ways, but you know my heart is perfect before you. And I love you with all of my heart. And oh God, I've tripped and I failed. And I fell into the hands of Lucifer. But oh God, deliver me. He prayed, deliver me out of these afflictions. Deliver me out of these things. He said, and if God, if you do, I'll sing your praises, God, and I'll speak of your name in the presence of my brethren. If you'll deliver me from this dark pit, he said, I'll stand in the midst of the congregation and I'll tell them about God. And I'll sing the praises of God and I'll let them know how great and marvelous and righteous that thou art. How great thou art, O God, the songwriter said. John speaks to us here that we are to keep the commandments of God. We must keep the commandments of God because this is the love of God. Somebody would say, I have the love of God, Brother Pike. Do you keep the commandments of God? How can you say that you have the love of God when you do not keep the commandments of God? How is it that you say that you have the love of God when God forbids you to go to the places of this world that's filled with frolic and filled with the wrong things? How is it that you frequent the places of this life that's unlike Christ and places that Jesus would never go to? How is it that you do that and say that you have the love of God? That's what's wrong with the church world today. It's sports and it's frolics, it's money and it's popularity and it's positions and wanting a career. That's what's wrong with the church today. See, what we need to do is get rid of all of that and have one desire, and that is to please the Lord Jesus Christ. We should have one desire, and that is to do the will of God in whatever way He wants us to do it. Doesn't make any difference. As long as God wants it that way, that's the way that we should do it. It doesn't matter what I desire. What difference does it make about my desire? My little puny desire, my little computerized efforts, what difference does it make about my thinking and my desire and what I want to do? My future, my desire is of the devil. That's been proven. Every human desire is of the devil. Every human desire that they have from their first birth is of the devil. Now, wait a minute, Brother Pike, somebody would say. All right, let's look at it and see. Jesus himself said, Satan desireth the things that be of the flesh. So whatever you desire always is of the flesh. It's of the devil. Because God is a spirit and God desires the things that be of the spirit. You say, but my darling child, Brother Pike, what about him? What about him? Abraham laid his darling child on the altar and said, there he is. If it's kill him, then kill him I will. You come first, God. So then, when you have human desire, there is only one way to keep it from being of the devil. How is that? Seek ye first God's desire. Seek ye first God's will. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all of your desires will come through the filter. All of your desires will go through the mind and the blood of Jesus. And then it will be human desire as it was when it was in the garden. It will be a clean, holy desire. Then your desires are not of the devil. But when you are born into this world, you have lust. And the original rendering of that word is desire. You have lust. And the Bible teaches that sin is in the world because of lust. Because of human desire. That's how sin got into the world. And it brings unrighteousness. All unrighteousness is sin. All of the natural carnal things that you do is of the world. And the Bible said if the love of this world is within you, the love of the Father is not there. In other words, that is to say the love of God isn't there. If you love God, you'll keep God's commandments. If you have the love of the world, then you have human desire. If you have human desire, then you have the love of the world. And if you have the love of the world, the love of God isn't there. That means you are of the devil. You know, the devil would like for you to believe that there's an in-between place. You know, there's a teaching that there's an in-between place. If you don't go to heaven, and if you don't go to hell, whichever one, heaven or hell, then you can go to purgatory. There's an in-between place. And the devil likes in-between places because he's the middle wall of partition. Isn't that right? Now, you don't have to be a fanatic about this religion, someone would say, and get so involved in it. But after all, you don't need to leave the church either and be like God said, hot or cold. There's an in-between place to where you can mix darkness with light. And you can bring all the sports and the frolics in and still be a good religious person. That's the devil's throne and territory. That's the way he would like to do it. But God said, I'm an extremist. You either be hot or you be cold. I'm an extremist. There is no in-between. There's no place of in-between. The devil would have you think that you know you don't have to really go on with God. Add a little bit of the world and add a little bit of religion. But brother and sister, the love of the world is one thing and the love of God is another thing. And there is no people in the world that's got both of them. I said there is no living human beings in the world, religious or otherwise, rich or poor, educated or not. There is no people in the world that has both of them. You either are of the devil or you are of God. You are either worldly minded with the love of the world in you, or you are godly minded with the love of God in you. You are either a Christian or you are either a bastard child that doesn't belong to the Heavenly Father. There is no in between. There's no stopping. There's no halfway house. You either belong to God or you don't belong to God. When you get in between, when you get this thing of being in between, and you get to feeling good about yourself, you are of the devil. You should feel good about God, and that's the only one you should feel good about. And you should esteem others better than yourself in your thinking, and you should cast down your imagination and bring into subjection every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And your thinking should be holy and be godly. I'll tell you what you do. You just go on doing the way that you're doing and see if one of these days you don't come back pleading with Brother Pike like many others are pleading with some child of God or some son of God or some great minister somewhere that loves God. You'll come back weeping and praying and begging and pleading and saying, I have been a fool, Brother Pike. I thought that I could do it when I saw others fail. But I'll tell you this, if you want to do right, you got to be with Jesus. It's just like David Paul soloing today. He soloed today because he listened to the instructor. He followed the instructor. He did what the instructor told him. And after a while, he got that in his mind. He listened to that man. He understood what the instructor was telling him. Then he was able to take hold of that plane. And even though David said, fear gripped my heart. I told some of them, I said, when he went down a runway, I said, that thing really got a hold of him. And as I saw him coming back up the runway to make his takeoff, just as he got ready to pull back on that thing to lift that plane, I saw something grab David, and I was standing way out here away from the plane. But I saw it in the spirit and reached to grab David like that to the extent that David couldn't hardly make himself pull back on that throttle. He couldn't hardly do it. And later he told me it happened just exactly the way I saw it in spirit. But I had told David before, I said, and listen, David, don't solo too quick. I said, don't get overconfident. I said, because you may know the routine. You may know what to do. I said, but the thing is, the very moment that instructor leaves you, you're going to fall flat. Fear is going to grip you. And you're going to get all tore up. I said, and unless you become a routinist doing it over and over, I said, then you're going to be in problems. I said, you've got to get to the place to where you just automatically do it. And then when this thing seizes you, then subconsciously you'll go ahead and do it anyway. I said, you'll be all right. So David told me today, he said, just as he started to take off, I was standing out there praying for him, and he knew he was praying for him. And he said when that thing grabbed him, it liked to defeat him. And all of a sudden, he said, he just shook it off like that and pulled back on it. And he sailed away, and he flew the plane beautifully time after time, going up, landing, and coming back. But he said, you know, that thing almost defeated me. And he said, but you know what happened? He said, when that instructor stepped out on that wing and he looked back at me and he said, it's yours. I'm leaving. He said, something just about sunk on the inside of me. He said, and when I started to leave the ground, said, I heard something say, don't do that, don't do that. That instructor's not in here with you. But he said, Dad, he said, just kind of subconscious-like, out of routine. He said, I just reached and done it anyway. And First News, you know, said I was all. And said I was flying. And said, when I got up there and I knew that I had that plane, he said, everything was all right then. And I told him when he sailed off, I said, he's got it now. He's all right. And he was sailing around up there, and about the time he got ready to come in for his first landing, I said, it's grabbed him again. I can feel it. And David told me when he come down, he said, Dad, I done real good. He said, till I come down, and when I started in for that landing, that thing grabbed me again. He said, yeah, you're up here, but how do you know that you can land that thing? And he said, again, I had to shake it off. And by faith and out of routine, I come in. This is what I'm saying, folks. Don't think too highly of yourself. Don't get the idea that you can do it without the instructor. Do what God tells you to do. Now, if you'll do what God tells you to do, and if you'll do what the instructor tells you to do, then you'll take that instructor into your heart and you'll never be without that instructor. You'll never lose that instructor. That instructor will never leave you. He'll be talking to you all the time. A lot of times I have David and I have some of the brethren here that really love me that follow what the pastor says. They'll say, Brother Pike, I'll be going down the road. I'll be miles and miles from this place. And my mind will turn to something perhaps that it shouldn't. And I'll hear your voice speak to me and say, don't do that. See, that isn't my voice. That's God's voice. Why? Because it's not my voice that's talking to you tonight. It's God's voice. If it's a human voice talking to you tonight, though it's vocal utterance, I understand that. For my vocal cords, which is repulsive to you, because man is repulsive to man, and I know you despise me many times, but it's God speaking to you. It's God coming through, because the Bible said it shall not be you that speaketh, but God that speaks to you. Now, brother, let me tell you something. If I was speaking to you as a man tonight, if we want to look at the man part, if it was the man part, you know what I'd be doing? The same things I used to do. You know what I used to do? The same things that some of you are doing that's ugly and low down and evil to the extent that they're contrary to godliness and they're not right. You're going your way. You're doing your thing. You're practicing what your desires. That's what I did. That's what every living human being has always done. Every living human being that was ever born of Adam. Everyone. God made them all of one mind, all of one bloodstream. He fashioned all their hearts alike. He said, there's none good, no, not one. All of them's gone astray. Every man's turned to his own way, and God has laid upon Jesus the iniquity of us all. He was the one that was chastened. He was the one that was beaten. It was all for my good and all for your good. There's none good, no, not one. Their mouths are like an open sepulchre, always criticizing, finding fault, backbiting, causing division, talking about abased things, always thinking on the wrong things. Every living human being in here does it. God said, I don't have a one, not a one. So then he said, I'll have to go down and do the job all by myself, like I wrote the song, you know. I'll just have to go down and do it by myself. I looked for a man everywhere. There wasn't a one. I had to do it for myself. Robed himself in humanity and come down and did it. But you know what made Jesus so great? The instructor. The instructor. Thy word have I hid in my heart, O God, David said, that I might have a heart like thee, or that I might not sin against thee. How can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed to the word of God. You've heard me tell this, and I want to tell it again in closing tonight. It's like a little thing that I heard. Woman caught a piano player going out the door from a concert, had heard the beautiful, beautiful playing, said to this pianist, said, I would like to play like that. Said, I'd give my life to be able to play like that. And the person that played so beautifully turned and said, that's all it takes, and walked on. That's all it takes. In other words, that's all I had to do was give my entire life to music to be able to play like this. Another man that played the music so beautifully, and the people was praising him at a great concert, and people were throwing money up on the platform and just bowing at his feet because it was such a great, outstanding thing. The man just kept on playing like he didn't hear no praises at all. He just kept on playing and kept looking up like this. And act like nobody was around that he hadn't heard a thing. But you know why? Because the man that had taught him, a master of music, sat in the balcony, an old gray-haired master. Sat there, and the man never took his eyes off of the master. He drawed all of the praise, all of that great praise, but he never took his eyes off of the master. The master was instructing him in everything. Instructing him in everything. That's the only way to be successful. That's the only way to ever reach the place that God has ordained for you to reach. Peter walked on the water as long as he watched the master. But the very minute he took his eyes off of the master, he went down. When you get critical, when you start finding fault and jealousy and resentment, you got your eyes off of the master. Through the eyes of understanding, you should shun the very appearance of evil. And if you'll do that, God will do something for you like you've never had done for you in your entire life. And you'll find yourself in a place where others cannot come. I want you to stand with me. I appreciate your attention tonight. A little exhortation to let you know we love you and appreciate you, but I'm trying to tell you where your failure is. I'm trying to tell you where your success is. I'm trying to explain the road to success very carefully. You come again and again and you say, Brother Pike, what's wrong with me? What's happened to me? Why can't I do this? I don't understand. But I tell you over and over. In the services, I continually tell you over and over. I reprove you. I rebuke you because the Bible said reprove, exhort, with all longsuffering and all doctrine and all authority. I tell you these things and you become very grieved sometimes. Whereas the Bible said chastisement is grievous for the moment. But afterwards it yields the peaceful fruits of righteousness. It's when the dad or mother takes a belt or takes the rod of correction. It is at that time when they chasten the child that he becomes very grieved. But they don't chasten him for naught. The Bible said, he that loveth his son or his child chasten him. He'll chasten him. But if you be without chastisement and God doesn't chasten you and everything goes well with you in the world, then are ye bastards. You don't have a heavenly father. You're going through the land of Esau, and as the rich man, you have your reward, but you'll never have eternal life. Them that he loves, he chastened. Jesus, though he was a son, yet learned the obedience by the things he suffered. Therefore, becoming perfect, he become the author and finisher of our salvation. He become the sole heir to the glory and throne of Almighty God. He alone can share it with you. So then, when you are chastened, you become grieved. But the Bible says after that child is chastened for his wrongs, then he'll think before he does that wrong the next time. And after he's chastened for his wrong, after the chastisement, then the Bible says it yields that peaceful fruit of righteousness. That is, it causes you to walk in a straight path. It causes you to walk in a holy path. It causes you to think holy. It causes you to do holy. It causes you to produce those wonderful fruits of righteousness. You say little things, Brother Pike, just little things, but the Bible said it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. You've heard me make the statement concerning some people staying in their home. They were having problems, couldn't get things to go right. People were wealthy, had problems. They said, Brother Pike, tell us. Talk to God, do whatever, and let us know. And I did. I talked to God. I prayed. And I had a vision. And when I saw in the vision, I looked. The front door was there. A row of glasses on each side. These little pane glasses like you see around the front door. Down at the bottom, one of the panes was out. And I looked, and a string of little foxes was coming in. And I saw the little foxes, one right behind another, as they jumped through the pane. The little foxes spoil your vines because your vines have tender grapes. I'm the vine, you're the branches. My Father is the husband thereof. It's His desire that you bring forth much fruit, and this is your fruit. Ask what you will. I'll do it, He said. This is your fruit, that you should have what you desire. But the little foxes keep you from having your desire. They spoil your vine because you have tender grapes. And the little foxes spoil your vines. Brother, faith won't work in a heart of condemnation. You'll never have a shield of faith to stop the evils of Satan. You'll never have the wonderful things that God has for you of health and happiness. The threefold blessing of a natural, physical, and spiritual thing. You'll never have it because of condemnation of the heart. Because faith will never work there. But get that heart of charity. Faith worketh by love. That bond of perfection. Get full of the love of God in keeping His commandments. And that faith that worketh by love, after a while, it'll be so great. He'll give you the desires of your heart. For He'll not withhold any good thing from them that walk upright before Him. I'll say this right quickly in closing. He will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. He will feed you with the heritage of Jacob. He said, David, I've taken you from among the sheepcote. Give you a name like unto the great men of the earth. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Ye shall be as a tree that's planted by the waters. Ye shall bring forth your fruit, peaceful fruits of righteousness. Ye shall bring forth your fruit in your season, and your leaves shall not wither. Whatsoever you do shall prosper. I'll make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. Because your ways please me, I'll make all of your enemies to be at peace with you. Let's lift our hands up for just a minute and love Jesus. Now then, if you've not come to that great commitment, I say again, Paul said, I'm persuaded to believe that that which I've committed unto God against that great day, He's able to keep. If you've not come to the hour of that great commitment in your life, if you've not come to that surrender, that full surrender, then the Bible said, when you seek me with all of your heart, then shall ye find me, saith the Lord. So tonight, let that heart be tender. Let that heart be sweet. Let that heart be clean. Let that heart be loving. Let that heart be overflowing with the joy and the jubilance of God and of charity. Let that heart be a desire to fulfill God's every will, every desire. And let that heart be a heart after God's own heart, a kind, loving Jesus heart, the heart that wants to do good, for He went about doing good, helping all. Let's do those things tonight. Let's have a heart like our Savior's. He died that we might be partakers. You know what will give you that heart? The mind of Christ. As you think in your heart, so you are. Let this mind of Christ, this spirit of charity, be in your heart, beloved. Let it be in your heart. It will mold and soften your heart. Harden not your heart as they did in the days of the provocation in the wilderness when they provoked God. And God destroyed them and swore that they never enter into His rest. Seeing that these entered not into the rest of Almighty God, therefore there remaineth the rest for God's people. And he that has ceased from his own work has entered into this great, wonderful rest that God hath prepared for His people. Therefore, relax in God. Go into God. Lose your ambition in God. Let God lead you. Let God prepare your heart. Let God enrich you. Let God build you up and you'll never fall. If you build yourself up, you be self-exalted, you fall. But if God builds you up and makes the way and leads and God gives to you, you won't never fall. For if you do these things, Jesus said, ye shall never fall. The wonderful fruits of God. Prove these things. Prove yourself whether you be reprobate or not. See if these things be in you. While we're worshiping the Lord for just a moment, I want you to meditate now, examine yourself, see if you be in the faith of the conviction of God's Word, or see if Christian conviction is far from you. The real faith of God, for there is no faith unto salvation but by the hearing of His Word. For faith worketh by the love of keeping His commandments, even the love of God. So then, faith unto salvation from the Word, showing that faith by what you do. That's the confirmation. Conforming to the promises, to the requests. Father, Lord of heaven, as we gather together as a congregation here, my heart is enlarged, my Father, all because of Jesus, all because of righteousness, all because of holiness, all because of pureness and virtue. Having the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of holiness in my heart, having my works unto holiness and perfection, that I might have the fruits unto holiness, serving Thee in the beauty of holiness. O God, for Thou art the Spirit of holiness, according to the Holy Scriptures. Dear God, having our works unto holiness and the end thereof eternal life, or having our fruits unto holiness and the end thereof eternal life, fill us with the fruits of righteousness, the wonderful fruits of righteousness, that we may have the end thereof eternal life. For he that is righteous, Father, is righteous even as Thou art righteous. And O God, being not found in our own righteousness, but by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the atonement of blood, of His blood, in that we are doing all that we can, Father. When we stumble, Your righteousness will make up for it. But knowing Thee, O God, that if we do not do all that we can, Lord, if we carelessly, willfully neglect, then the blood does not apply for us. But Father, we ask tonight that You save us, forgive us, deliver us, lead us and guide us, and fill our souls full of the goodness of God and the wonderful blessings of God. Oh Lord, let it not be day after day of just eating and drinking and going, Father, of being weary with routine. Lord, even so weary that men desire not to live. Oh Father, let it not be a day-by-day oppression. Father, pressed with the necessities of life, them things that evil minds, Lord, of carnality has imposed upon us. Lord, of taxes and buying and selling and getting gain, Father, and the pressures of all of these things, Lord, upon us. Oh God, even the necessities of life, Lord, that we have to face just to be able to survive. Let it not be a ritualistic with us, a day-by-day progress, God, in that which will end in corruption and death. But let it be a great day of jubilance. Let it be a great day of joy. Let us leave that day and the world of routine. And by transformation of mind and translation of spirit, may we enter into that great heavenly atmosphere and world and mind of Christ, to where we can say, this is the day that the Lord has made, that we've entered into His Sabbath, even as John entered into the Lord's day when he saw all of these wonderful things. May we enter into that Sabbath day of His rest, even the mind and works of Jesus Christ, into the day that the Lord has made. That rest that they failed to enter into back in the wilderness because of their murmuring against Moses. May we not make that mistake. May we enter into this great rest, O God. In so doing, Heavenly Fathers, we enter into this rest. Lord, may our lives be complete, that we be free from all of the barriers and burdens of natural life and of this world. Heal our bodies, bless our spirits, inspire spirits. God, supply our every need from the natural sources of life. We ask You to do it. You said if we seek You, all of the things would be added. And You said in Your word that I've given Thee all things that pertain unto life. Health and happiness and finance, joy, splendor, magnificence, Lord, even for this life and eternal life. Lord, that we be happy with our companions, that we be happy with our children, that we be blessed in everything in life that we think, everything that we do, everything that is ours, everything that we're partakers of, all things that pertain unto life. Help us, Heavenly Father. We'll be careful to love You and give You the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Give me another key, Frank. A stream is flowing from Calvary. A stream is flowing and it cleanses me from sin and shame, in Jesus' name. That stream is flowing from Calvary. Sing it with me again. A stream is flowing from Calvary. That stream is flowing and it cleanses me from sin and shame, in Jesus' name. That stream is flowing from Calvary. There's a stream that's flowing tonight, coming down from Calvary. That stream is flowing of the lovely blood of the darling Son of God. I'm so glad that His blood avails for me. My sins are gone. The song says, my sins are gone. I'm so glad they're underneath the blood that Jesus shed at Calvary. My sins are gone, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. He's put them in the sea of forgetfulness to never be remembered against me again. Praise God, my sins are gone.